Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Christ Jesus, the Lord's anointed, whom he has set on his holy hill Zion, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation, as I said at the lection, is Psalm 2. I'm going to read some selected verses. I'm using the NIV translation. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Jesus was a man of many hats. We use that saying to describe someone who has many different responsibilities, maybe many different positions or offices. I know that in conversations with some people, at times, they've even said to me, wait a minute, I've got to put on a different hat now. I may have been talking to them as a close friend, but one of the positions that they held caused them to have to speak from a different perspective. And so they said, I got to put on a different hat. I got to talk it to you not as a friend, but as something else right now. Jesus is a man of many hats. In fact, during this Advent season on these Wednesday evenings, our services are looking, or our sermons are looking, at three of those hats. Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. And so this evening, we're looking at that third one, Jesus foretold as king. That third hat is really a crown. Jesus was long ago, by this very psalm, proclaimed as our king, whom God had established on his holy hill. Now, our psalm teaches us three things about Jesus as king. The first thing is that he is a king despised. And then he is a king who brings judgment. And finally, a king who can be trusted. Jesus is foretold as king, a king who is despised. Notice again those first verses of the psalm. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. The psalmist was here picturing the rebellion of the world against God and his anointed one. That's the Christ. That's what Christ means, anointed one. Jesus is being pictured here as king. And a king who is despised by the world. It pictures the world gathering together and plotting against God. In fact, the Hebrew says, more like the version that we read in the lection, why do the nations rage and consider a vain thing? They gather together and they plot against God and want to throw off his fetters, his bonds and his cords. That would be the Word of God. The Word of God through which God governs and rules our earthly lives. The world doesn't want to be constrained by how God wants it to live. And so it plots and conspires and rages against God and His Word and His Anointed One. And we see evidence of this all around us in the world. Why can't a Christian pray at school? Now, I'm not suggesting that there should be prayer in schools, but why can't a Christian exercise his faith at school? Why are there organizations in our country like Freedom From Religion? That's an organization that is fighting every step of the way, fighting tooth and nail to keep Americans free from religion. It's not fighting to protect the freedom of religion, but freedom from religion. It doesn't want America's people bound by the chains and fetters of God's Word. And so it's doing whatever it can to throw off those fetters. Yes, we can look at the world around us and see so much evidence that what the psalmist says is true. The world and its people plot against God and His Christ, against its King. But we don't just have to look at the world to see how true this psalm is. We only have to look in the mirror. Haven't we all at times felt that God's Word was too constrictive, where we wanted a little more freedom than what God wanted us to have, where we wanted to set God and His Word aside for just a little while so that we could have some fun in the way that we want to have it? And let's face it, often it isn't just fun, it's outright rebellion against our King. When we read God and His law, we chafe against those bonds and those ropes, and we want to throw them off. Yeah, we only have to look as far as the mirror to see how true the psalmist is. Because we plot and we conspire. We come up with ways to justify our sinful actions. But really, we're doing nothing but else but rebelling against our King. But Jesus is King. And look at how He handles rebellion in our text. Paul's are showing that there is a growing idea in our culture, in our society, that people want a God of convenience. They want God to be there when they need Him. They want a God that when they're sick, they can pray to and be healed. They want a God that when they're struggling financially, they can plead to and He will get them out of their messes. They want a God of convenience. It's almost like they want God to be a spare tire or a tire wrench, where He's there when they need Him, but He doesn't have much to do with their everyday lives. Just a God of convenience. And just think for a moment. Have you lately checked the tire pressure in your spare tire? And yet you're all hoping that when you need it, it will be there and it will be ready. That's the attitude that they have toward God. That they don't want him cramping their style. They just want him there when they need him. But notice the very different image of our King in the psalm. Notice God's response to those that want to throw off his chains. It says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. Then he goes on to speak about this king coming with an iron scepter to shatter them to pieces. Jesus doesn't just want to be a king when you need him. He wants to rule every day of your life because he is bringing judgment. This is a side of Jesus that we just don't want to dwell on too much, especially at this time of year. We want to see him as that cuddly baby in the manger, wrapped up there in cloths, loving and unthreatening. But don't be deceived by that cloth and that flesh. That baby who laid in the manger, he is the Lord Almighty. He is the King of Kings. He will come and judge the living and the dead. Don't be deceived by that cute, cuddly flesh. Because as Paul says, in him dwells all fullness of the deity. He is God in every way. He is your king who will bring judgment. So don't use him as a God of convenience. Jesus wants you to come to him and bow down, to submit every part of your life to the governance of his word, or face his judgment. Now, what is the purpose of the words of this text, which can seem so frightening? Does Jesus want to condemn us? Does he want us consumed by the fire of his wrath? No. He wants you to see that judgment coming and run. Run to him. Notice the last line of our text. Blessed are all. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Jesus wants you to see that judgment coming, that fire, and flee to him for refuge, to run to him. If you don't, his judgment will consume you. But that is not what he desires. So maybe this evening you're sitting here wondering, man, I've made a mess of things. I've broken God's law in so many ways. Maybe his anger is going to come down on me. How can he pardon someone like me who's been so rebellious against his word? Jesus invites you to come to him and seek refuge in him. Now, how can you know that you can trust him? How can you be sure that Jesus will be a place of refuge for you in his coming judgment? Just look at what your king did so that he could be a refuge for you. He took your place, yes, your very place, in the presence of God and face God's anger and judgment over your sins so that you could hide in Him and have shelter. And facing the anger and judgment of God in your place didn't just require that He suffer physically. No, He had to suffer the very pangs of hell and enter even death itself so that you could find refuge in Him. Anyone that loves you that much can be trusted. Anyone that is willing to go to such great lengths so that you could be forgiven can be trusted. So run to Him. Run to Jesus. When you fear God's judgment coming down on your head, run to Jesus. For blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Jesus is a man of many hats, many different offices, prophet, priest, and king. One of those hats is a crown. So flee from God's judgment and wrath, and flee to your King who loves you and died for you. To Him be glory and honor and power and strength, now and forever. Amen.